Welcome back to the Six Out Culture Podcast. Today I'm joined by Danny. What's going on, bro? You good?
Yep. I'm pretty on the high.
Yeah, Danny's on a, you know, another level of high right now. And, you know, we're not talking about smoking. We're talking about, you know, in his mood and demeanor. Napoli, big win over Milan. A match that I think many people are looking forward to the most this weekend. We also had Roma-Atalanta, which is another entertaining match as always between those two. Udinese is continuing to, you know, just run through teams right now, which I don't think we expected. But, I mean, we saw this with Torino. What year was that? 17, 18 maybe? When Torino had that really hot start and everyone's like, yeah. Ooh. And then they kind of fell off. So we'll see if that happens with Udinese. But so far, so good. Lazio dismantled Cremonese 4-0. Fiorentina had a good showing, 2-0. And, you know, Fiorentina has been very up and down. I think most people expected Fiorentina to start off better than they've started off so far. And, yeah, it's been tough for them. Monza beat Juventus 1-0 to get their first ever Serie A win in their club history. And, yeah, just a lot of stuff happened. So I think I kind of want to start off with Inter-Udinese first.
Yeah,
I mean, Udinese, I think most of us are impressed with them, or if not everyone. No one really saw this coming, and if you did, you're lying, I think. Yeah, I think on a podcast, I think me and Frechette put them relatively high. I think I put them ninth on the table.
Yeah, I think I had them
eighth or ninth.
Maybe higher. Yeah, between 9 and 12.
We knew they'd be better, but you know, we didn't know it would be this good. You know, beating Inter, beating Roma, beating Fiorentina, beating all these teams, and yeah, they've looked good. So yeah, Barella scored early on. At that point, I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, the luck, or not luck, but momentum is kind of dying out now. Inter's about to win this, you know, end this whole Udinese kind of rampage they've been on. And that did not happen. You know, Skriniar got his own goal. And then the game kind of unfolded from, you know, that point forward near the end of the game where everyone was saying, well, I was saying at least, oh, I think a 1-1 draw would be nice here for Udinese. You know, even though they're beating all these teams, Inter's still Inter. And to get a draw against Inter would have been great. And at the end, everything unfolded. The FAU there, yeah, creating everything, it seems like. How many assists does he have? Like 100 already? I don't even know.
Yeah,
it feels like every game he's getting one.
I think he's got five assists in 7 games.
Damn, like he's linking up everything for them right now. And maybe his goal scoring is not what we're used to per se, but who really needs to score goals when you're, you know, helping everyone else score goals?
I think he has the same amount of assists at this point this season than he did last year.
Really? Why does it feel like so much more?
I think he had 13 goals and 5 assists last year.
Let
me double check that. Yeah, but
yeah, he's 5 assists right now. Damn.
Last year he had 13 goals, 5 assists.
He's already tied that. So yeah, he's having a great year in terms of playmaking. Goal scoring hasn't been there yet, but you know, to be honest, I actually value assists more than goals at times. I think it's more impressive, depending on, I guess, the player. Like, Deulofeu isn't really a goal scorer per se. He scores goals, I guess, yes. But I always saw him as a mix of both. You know, someone that can score goals, assist, do a little bit of everything. So, yeah, he's been doing a great for Udinese since he arrived there. Even in the Serie A at Milan, you know, back in the day, he was good at Milan as well. So, yeah, he's always been a player to look out for. But, I mean, are you shocked by the result then? I'm a little shocked, but also Inter's been in a slump, so I'm not that shocked.
I'm not shocked by, like, just, like, based off the recent results, but if you were told me maybe 2-3 weeks ago, like, oh, this Inter game, Udinese is going to win 3-1, I would say, okay, no, I would think Inter would pick up, but it seems like they really haven't. And both now Inzaghi's, he's in the hot seat, based off maybe after this game, who knows. It's going to be a tough, big 2 weeks for Inter because I can't remember who they play after the international break. But
it's Inter?
Yeah.
Roma, they're playing us.
Oh, yeah, they play you guys. So, hey, and you can probably be the reason why Inzaghi might get canned if you guys can pick up a result. And, I got to give Sertio a lot of credit. I know last year, I do believe they had Cioffi as their coach. And I was like, okay, they're playing pretty good. He's a good coach. And then once he left and they brought Sotil in, I was questioning because he he was okay. He did okay. He did pretty good with Ascoli, and now with Udinese, he's just taking him to another level. Will this be a result that just, oh, they're just in a good form right now, but then they'll die down throughout the season? Or are they legit going to contend for European football? As of right now, they're probably one of the best teams to watch in the league. They're very, when they attack, they're a very good attacking team. And they just, Deleferio's been playing like an MVP right now. So it's a mix of both between Inter in the slump and Udinese just playing really good footballs right now.
Yeah, I mean, what impresses me most of Udinese is the way they use their physicality. I think in football, you don't see teams weaponize physicality as much as you do in other sports. I mean, like basketball, you know, you back someone down in the paint, or, you know, hockey, you know, you hit someone against the boards, you get those bruisers in hockey, you know, that come in the game, like a Wayne Simmons, you know, that comes on to make things dirty. But I feel like Udinese as a team, they all prioritize physicality and making the other team uncomfortable and kind of bullying them in a way. And I saw it against Roma too. We looked very, not scared, but we looked like, ooh, like, damn, they're really coming at us right now. You know, Udinese push you back. They're very tactically disciplined, which I think is, you know, that's all credit to Andrea Sotillo for what he's doing right now, to have his team, you know, that disciplined. On set pieces, I think they've been incredible, very dangerous on set pieces. And, you know, that's a mix of their physicality because, you know, that's a lot of what set pieces are, you know, pushing the box, trying to find space to, you know, get the header. And, yeah, Udinese looked very good. And, you know, as this run is going on, I'm starting to think to myself, is this maintainable? I'm starting to think it is a little bit now because, you know, there's moments where that Torino team, like we said, well, I always, you know, reference them when I talk about Udinese, that Torino team that started off so good, I think it lasted like 5 games or 6 games, whatever, undefeated. And that seemed a little lucky to me at the time. Like, I'm like, I don't think this is maintainable. It's not really tactically they're beating teams. They're, you know, scoring some bangers. They're, you know, doing some unbelievable things, but I don't think they can do that for 38 games. This, on the other hand, I feel like Udinese can do this for a long time. If everyone stays healthy, you know, I don't see why not. I don't think it's luck at all. I think they're actually outplaying teams, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of Atalanta in a way, where they have that, that's something different. Like, for example, in the Serie A, before Atalanta became an attacking superpower, the Serie A was very defensive. I think ever since the Atalanta team really started to, you know, score 4 goals, 5 goals, I think they won 7-1 at one point, or 8-2 was it one game or something like that? Anyways, Atalanta.
Yeah, it was like 7-1, 8-2, yeah.
Something like that. They scored a lot of goals, which you don't see in the Serie A very often. I think ever since that has happened, I think we've seen the goal count in Serie A every year has been going up like a couple of goals each time. Yeah, I think it's like pretty impressive how a team like Atalanta really changed the way the Serie A, you know, managers look at the game. And we've been seeing the goal count, like I said, raising up and rising year by year. And now I think Udinese is kind of weaponizing physicality, and that could be a new thing here where Serie A becomes a more physical league and, you know, less maybe tactical oriented and more, you know, more force of nature in the team. Because I don't know, just Udinese team is very strong, and that's the first thing I think of when I see them. They push everyone. And the 50-50 balls, they win everything, it feels like every ball.
Yeah, and it helps too that they have like a mix of both between like physicality and speed with Deleferio and Udoji, because he's, for me, I've been very impressed
with incredible.
Udoji's been playing. Yeah, incredible. This guy's,
wow.
Tottenham's got, any Tottenham so guys listening, you guys got a heck of a player, and I feel like under Antonio Conte, he's going to shine with you guys. And one guy too, like I've been saying too, Makengo. I've been very impressed with Makengo.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a, I'm going to use the term underrated midfielder. I feel like when you think of like all these good midfielders, I feel like Makengo's probably their best one. But also, too, he fits their system good because he's strong, he can dribble, he can win a lot of fouls. And he's just he's a big player, too. He's got a lot of physical traits on him, and he's just a good reason why that this Udinese side, that's one thing they characterize, and he fits their style of play perfectly. And even Perez too, I've been impressed with throughout these last few games. And the fact that Udinese won this game and Beto didn't get on the score sheet, who's been pretty good for Udinese this year too, So they're finding ways to score even when their main guys, such as Pereira, Beto, are not contributing scoring. They're getting goals everywhere on the pitch.
Yeah, and Beto, even when he's not scoring, I feel like he's doing so much for the team. And I think he has, what, 4 goals this year so far, which is still very good. He's up there with top goal scorers. And that's looking like a down start to the season. That's how good he's been. Where, you know, 4 goals, usually you'll be like, oh, wow, that's incredible after 7 games. But some people are saying, oh, he's not performing, you know, up to that level. Maybe he was, at, you know, a couple moments last year. But, no, even without the goals, I think Beto's offering so much. And Udoji, like you said, Dan, to see a 19-year-old be this consistent, like, it's not like he's, you know, when you're young, you're going to have games where you're not looking yourself and, you know, a lot more games than, you know, the more experienced guys we're going to look off. And Udoji has been very consistent. He's been uber consistent throughout, you know, last season and now at the start of this season. He's looked very good. Spurs got a gem in him. And, you know, if I'm a Juventus fan after, you know, being so close to signing him, and now you're looking at Alexandro, and, you know, Udoji's going to Tottenham next year. That's going to hurt. So, yeah, no, I've been very impressed with Udinese. I think everyone has been. And I think it's sustainable. I don't think it's going to go anywhere anytime soon. I think that the way they play is something that they can continue to do. And even the smaller guys, like De La Feu, he's not a small guy, per se, but he's not a big guy also. You know, he's not a big-framed person. He's not the hardest guy to body off the ball, let's say. But he plays bigger than he is. Like, all even their small guys are playing very physical. Kind of like, you know, Jovinko at TFC, a little guy, 5'4", I think. But Jovinko got into defenders. He pushed them. He played bigger than he was. And I don't know if it's a chip on the shoulder they have. I'm not sure what it is. But Sotillo is working wonders. And, yeah, congrats to Udinese and Inter, man. Inzaghi, I think you're right, Dan. If Roma beat Inter, I think Inzaghi could be out the door. If not, you know, very close to being out the door. They're not looking good. And for the players they have, I don't think there's an excuse, to be honest. They don't have many injuries like other teams do. I know Lukaku's been out. But when you look at a team like Roma and Juventus, all the injuries they have right now, I think they're both still ahead of Inter. I'm like 99% sure they are. I haven't looked at the table. Let me see right now. Yeah, so Roma's ahead of Inter. Let's see who else. Yeah, Juve's not, but only 2 points behind. But yeah, those two teams have been, you know, very, you know, held back by injuries, and Inter really hasn't been that held back by injuries. Most of the team is healthy, and yeah, to see that is pretty, I don't want to say embarrassing, but it is in a way. And yeah, Inzaghi, he's got to wake up, or else, you know, his time will be done pretty quick. And speaking of embarrassing, and Juventus Monza, that was you know what, in 2022 Monza beating Juventus isn't that much of a surprise anymore, which is pretty scary to say. Yeah. I mean, I thought they'd actually draw before the game started. I just feel like Juve is in too much of a rut right now where, you know, I don't think a team like Monza is looking at them like, oh, we're scared. I think Monza is looking at Juventus and say, hey, this is an opportunity here to get our first ever Serie A winning. It's a big team, you know. If there's ever a time to be Juventus, it's right now. And, you know, they also have guys missing that were red cards in the previous match. And I expected a draw. And when I saw Monza won 1-0 because I missed the final 20 minutes or so, so yeah, when I saw that game ended 1-0, I'm like, oh wow, that Juventus is in a bad place right now. And look, me and Dan didn't get to talk about Allegri too much in the last podcast because I think I covered a good 30 minutes of that. But my view on it is, yes, is Allegri being, you know, stubborn in his tactics right now and in admitting that there's a problem tactically? Yeah, he is. I don't think he's been doing a good job. Is it all his fault? No, it's not all his fault. To me, the players, I don't know if it's because they're not motivating them or whatever, but the professional players, you shouldn't need your coach to tell you to run. They look very lazy to me. I think Robella, I saw a stat, I could be wrong, but I think he had the same amount of passes completed or something as, was it McKennie and someone else? I can't remember the stat. I saw it, you know, 2 days ago now, but, or yesterday morning, but, yeah, I saw something where Robella basically had double the same amount of passes as two people in Juventus' midfield, two players. I forgot what the second player was. But and that's someone who could be on Juventus right now, Robella. I think they can use someone like him. So that's something. Another one is Demiral. It blows my mind that Juventus let Demiral go for you know, essentially like nothing, basically. Not nothing, but at the same time, when you look at the defense right now, Juventus' defense sucks. It's terrible. It's, in my opinion, it's one of the worst in the league right now. They're not conceding the most goals, but they look so disorganized right now. And Demiral, in my opinion, would definitely start Juventus right now. He's been great for Atalanta. And, you know, two guys like Robella and Demiral, that solves a lot of problems already for Juventus.
Yeah.
And those are two guys that they had. They gave them away. They willingly said, hey, we don't want these two guys. And, yeah, that's not, is that Allegri's fault? No, it's management's fault. So yeah, it's a mix of everything. It's the players, it's the coach, it's the management. Maybe the athletic department for his injuries. I'm not sure, you know, how the injuries have been coming about. You know, I'm not at training, so I don't know what's going on there. So it could be the athletic department. It could be just the fact of being unlucky. But, no, it's Allegri's fault. But for the people who are saying, oh, we sack Allegri, we bring in, I don't know, like Zidane or whoever people want. That's not going to solve everything. Like, it's not magic, you know. It's not going to, you know, the next game they're going to win 4-0. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot of problems, and it's not going to take just a new manager. It's going to take, you know, a big change from the bottom down.
Yeah.
I think Ronaldo actually ruined the club, in my opinion. I think him coming really ruined Juventus. When you looked at Juventus before Ronaldo, what did you think of? I thought of a team that, you know, could win any game in Europe or Serie A and should win most games. I saw a team that was built around Paulo Dybala, you know, this young stud they got from Palermo that slowly become a club legend. And Ronaldo comes and Dybala is thrown to the side. And that was, in my opinion, the beginning of the end. People are saying, oh, Dybala is always injured. Oh, Dybala is this, that. Look at him this year. He's one of the best players in Europe right now. If you want to look at, you know, statistics and just the way he's playing overall. Paulo Dybala, to me, was Juventus. He loved the fans. He saw him crying at the end when he left there. He didn't want to go. Did Allegri get rid of Dybala? No, it was management. They didn't want to pay him. Okay, you don't pay Dybala, then why don't you go pay five other guys? And look what they're doing, nothing. So, yeah, you want to bring in Di Maria, you want to bring in Pogba, you want to bring in all these injury-prone players, but then you're saying we don't want Dybala because he's injury-prone. So then why don't you go ahead and sign two other guys for more money than Dybala is making right now and are actually injury-prone? Di Maria has been way more hurt than Dybala has been. Pogba, damn, has he played in the last 10 years? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I think he's played one preseason game and that's it.
Yeah, so it's just being a hypocrite at the end of the day. You don't want Dybala because he's always hurt, and then you go sign two guys that always get hurt. So to me, it's management as well as Allegri. Obviously, Allegri's got to take a lot of the blame, but it's not just him. Your problems don't disappear once Allegri's gone. It doesn't work like that. It's not that simple.
No,
so,
yeah, I agree.
And yeah, I've been talking all about Juventus here. Credit to Monza, you know, great performance. And it wasn't the case of they parked the bus and then they got a lucky goal. Monza played better than Juventus.
Better
Astra, yeah, I thought
Robella,
they did better.
Going back to that stat you were saying, I was just looking at how many passes the Juve midfielders fielders made. Rovella had more than all three of them combined.
Yeah, that was a stat. There you go. Yeah,
Rovella, that's what I mean. Like they're like you can argue that yeah, Moretti he's got signs. He shows potential, but he's not there just yet. Rovella's been best midfielder in Juve's, like, you could say, their, like, system in the last, like, 2-3 years, like, as a whole.
That's a fact, yeah. And they just throw him out.
They bought him from Genoa, which, really good signing. You would think they would bring him in, build under Locatelli, build under him and maybe Moretti or whoever. They loaned him out. The two best midfielders are currently on loan. One's at Chelsea and one's at Monza. So, yeah, people want to blame Allegri, whatever. He's part of the problem. He's not the problem, but he's part of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Like you said, and like we said on the last podcast too, it seems like once Ronaldo came, their focus was, okay, we're going to win champion. We want to go for Champions League, which that's fine because that's all I've been hearing from the Juventus fans, and they don't care about, this is their quote, we don't care about Serie A, we don't care about Coppa Italia, we want Champions League. Okay, because they won it all, whatever. They didn't even make it to the, not even the, I don't even think they made it to the quarters.
No, not even the quarters, no.
I don't think they made it to the quarters with Ronaldo. So bringing in Ronaldo was just it took them 10 steps back. And now they're trying to build from the mistake they made of signing Ronaldo, which, thinking back, yeah, it was a mistake because you didn't win nothing with them. And it's all management. I don't think they even have a, to be honest, like, look at their team and the way they play. They have maybe a few good individual players, but as a group, they're not good at all. They're like, you used to be scared of Juventus. Now, teams like you can, I don't think, and I don't know about you, but I'm not really scared of Juventus anymore.
No, not at all. How
unless
can you
something change? Yeah, unless something changes, which as of right now, it looks like it might not, because it looks like, it seems like the management doesn't even want to sack Allegri because it's going to cost them a lot. I believe it's going to cost them, like maybe, what, a lot? Yeah, it's going to cost them a lot. And they can't really replace him with a cheap option, because the only cheap option I can think of on the top of my head, he just signed with Brighton. Deservedly. He just agreed on a contract with Brighton. And I'm pretty sure they officially announced him too.
Yeah.
They're not going to get Zidane. They're not going to get Tuchel, because of if they sack Allegri, he's making way too much. And I don't think they can afford him. Like what Francesca said, I don't think they can afford those guys. So it's a mix of everything too. And give Monza credit. They took it to them. I was really impressed with the way they played. Their first Serie A win too. And it came against one of the most historic clubs in history. Yeah. And so, yeah, for me, I was really impressed with the way Rorella plays. And I know Juve, they have him on loan, but I feel like he might just ask to leave. He might just want to join a club permanently. And any club that signs him, if Rorella does, and you can see, I can probably see even Vlahovic leaving soon too, with the way he's been playing. It seems like these guys are unmotivated and they just fed up with everything. Like Di Maria, yeah, okay, people want to say, oh, but Izzo over-exaggerated. Can never throw your elbow. You should never, even an attempt to, you should never be able to do that. And it seems like Di Maria is unmotivated, which Di Maria, when he's on his game, this guy's one of the most creative players in all of Europe. He's a very creative player. Vlahovic should be scoring every game. He's not even getting the service he wants. Kostic, this guy at Frankfurt, was looking good. He's looked bang average since he's joined. Vermeer was one of the best center backs last year. And one of the most rated center backs heading into the Mercato. And he's looked lost. He's got a new partner every week. He's got Gatti, he had Benucci, he had, Rugani. Like, he's got a new partner every week. There's no way you can build a partnership when you have different center backs playing every week. And it's just the big mess right now, the big hot mess at Juve. And who knows what they have planned. Like, it's as of right now, it seems like Allegri's in. And if they really wanted to sack him, they should have done it today.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think this whole Allegri thing should have been before the season. You know, people are already calling for him to leave at the end of last year, and never happened, of course. I don't know. I think Allegri and Zaghi are probably walking a thin line right now. Allegri is probably a little bit more safe because of the amount of money he's making. So, you know, they're going to find it hard to really sack him.
There was a lot of interesting quotes coming from, like, the management prior to this game, too. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was just a weird quote. Like, it was just like a quote, like, you look and you go, yeah, they're not going to fire him anytime soon. Like, it seems like they're backing them a lot more than you. Like, Juve fans want him out, but it seems like the management wants to keep him in.
Yeah, and, you know, if they want to or not, they don't really have a choice right now with the amount of money he's making. So, we'll see what happens with that. You know, international break, maybe Juve get some guys back at the end of it. And, you know, they go on a run, we'll see. Another great game, Roma-Atalanta. I think everyone loves watching that game. I can't remember the last boring game between the two teams. So yeah, it was another fun one. Where do I start with this? Okay, so Roma was a better team. I'm not being biased. I think anyone you ask would agree with that, even if they hate Roma. The biggest Roma hater would say Roma was the better team that day. So where do I start? I don't know where to start this game. Heading into it, I saw the lineup. I'm like, oh, okay. This isn't, you know, the worst thing. Cristante, Dybala. The lineup is good, whatever. And then Dybala goes down in the warm-ups, which I don't think was a serious injury. It's one where they're like, I don't think it's worth risking Dybala, because then if he plays and it gets worse, then, you know, it's not going to look good on us. So they decide to sit him. I don't think it's going to be a big issue. He still, you know, got called up to play for Argentina. He's still there. He didn't, you know, stay back in Rome. So that's, you know, it's not a bad injury. So that's good to hear. Probably just one they want to be cautious about and, you know, not risk anything. We had so many chances. I don't even know where to start. Tammy Abraham had a breakaway. Should have been a goal. He's been struggling this year on the finishing side. Everything else has been doing great. I think Tammy has been, you know, creating. He's been pressing, winning the ball back, holding up play. I think he's done everything except score, which it'll come. You know, a great player like him, he'll figure it out. So I'm not too worried about him. And we're missing Dybala. And I think this whole year I've been so reliant on Dybala for how good he's been. I think, in my opinion, it's probably the best individual player I've seen at Roma since Totti retired. He's been, I don't know, I haven't seen everything. He has everything, dribbling, shooting ability, playmaking, leadership. He runs back, gets the ball back, which I haven't seen from Dybala in a while now at Juventus. He's winning the ball back now. So he's doing everything. He's probably, it's probably the best Dybala since 17, 18, or was it 16, 17, one of the two. But it's been, you know, it's the best Dybala we've seen in some time now. And, you know, missing that in a game like this is always going to hurt you. But that's not the reason we lost, in my opinion. It's just the finishing. We can't finish. I think we have the worst conversion rate in all of Europe, which doesn't surprise me with the amount of chances we've... Realistically, other than the Udinese game where we actually did get outplayed, we should win every other game this season, every single one, with the amount of chances we create. I don't know what's going on with our finishing. You know, it gets to the point where you're like, okay, it's unlucky. But now when it happens seven times, it's not unlucky. It's a skill thing. We're not able to finish. I think Mourinho should, you know, get some electric shock bands and put it around their neck and training. And every time they miss, it shocks them, something like that. I don't know what they have to do, but they need to finish. If I ask you then, right, what do you think is more difficult, creating a chance or finishing it?
I would say, yeah, creating.
Yeah, creating. Because creating, right? Let's say a team's having issues creating chances, right? What is that? It's a tactical issue. You look at the manager, you say, okay, you got to find, you know, different ways to mix up, put players in different spots, maybe change the tempo. It's something tactically. That's something that, you know, you can fix. It takes time, of course. Not easy. You know, creating chances is very difficult. But, you know, you can fix that. How do you fix finishing if you're a manager? Are you going to treat them like Hellsig players and put them in a line in training? Say, hey, guys, you're going to take shots on Rui Patricio today for 2 hours. Let's work on your finishing. You can't, it doesn't, you know, at this level, there is no such thing as finishing training. And, of course, yeah, they have drills, of course, but you're not going to focus the whole practice on finishing. Everything else, I think we're doing great. Ibanez, in my opinion, phenomenal. He's been so good this year. I did not know Ibanez could reach this level. I know he's had potential for a while now. He's still very young. I think 23 now. He's about to turn. So good this year. Like, incredible. And no one's really talking about him because, you know, how bad our finishing's been. You know, a defender looks a lot better when we're winning games. Like, oh, wow, you're winning games, and this guy's doing so good. When you're losing, you know, no one's going to talk about the defense. Smalling is Smalling. He's almost a perfect player when I think about it. I can't remember the last bad game Chris Smalling has had. I think it's been like 2 years now. I can't put my finger on one game where I'm like, oh, Smalling did not play good today. He's been so good for us. So, yeah, Smalling's going to be Smalling. Gianluca Mancini, he has his moments where you're like, I just want to put my head through a wall. But this year, I think he's been good again. He's been, you know, solid. He's been doing his job. Against Atalanta yesterday, he was phenomenal. I thought he was... one of the better players on the pitch, and I know a lot of people won't give him credit because he doesn't get a lot of credit from fans and because he can be frustrating at times, but no matter who you are, if you have a good game, you have a good game, and I'm going to say it. And he had a really good game, Gianluca Mancini. I was happy with him. But yeah, Roger Ibanez, I think he almost had 10 tackles against Atalanta, which, you know, people, that's not easy to get in the game. 10 tackles in one match. You know, I think on average, what's Skriniar get last year? Like 73 tackles all season. Ibanez got 10 in one game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not easy. He's been incredible. When I go to the midfield, Cristante, I love him. He's such a great guy. He's a team player. You know, he won't complain. He'll play wherever you want him to play, but he is so hard to watch sometimes. It's very, very difficult to watch him. Him and Matic in that double pivot is, you know, I think of nightmares. I have nightmares about every night. And I'm not saying Matic is bad. I actually think Matic has been incredible for us. I'm a big Matic guy. But you can't play Matic and Cristante together. That is the problem. You need Matic and Camara, Matic and Bove, Matic and Pellegrini, since Aniola's back now. Pellegrini can move back a bit. You cannot have Matic and Cristante. That cannot happen. And I can blame that on other games, but yesterday that wasn't the problem. It was finishing. I don't know what else to say. Atalanta had one shot on target that I can remember. Maybe there's more. I don't know what the stats are, but from my memory, I remember one chance, and it was a Scalvini goal. I don't remember anything else happening from Atalanta. If you go look at the Serie A highlights, because I watched them back, literally the only Atalanta highlight was a Scalvini goal. There's no other clips of Atalanta in the whole highlight package. Not one. Just, literally just a goal. The rest of all us. Shmurdov, open header at the back post. Saniolo, an incredible nutmeg, gets around his defender, plays Celik. Celik crossed it. Shmurdov would have been a highlight goal. Misses. Tammy Abraham breakaway. Misses. Then the penalty, clear as day on Zaniolo. They don't even check VAR. Demiral, I don't know what happened. He fell asleep. Or, you know, Demiral, he does that sometimes. Kind of like Ibanez last year, you know, has some mental lapses, falls asleep, a little bit reckless. And that's what happened. He lost possession. Zaniolo won it back. He's running. It's about to be a 2-on-1 with just one center back in between him and Pellegrini. And he gets pulled down, but he gets back up right away. He fell to like one knee for a little bit, stumbled. That allowed, you know, some time for Atalanta to get back and stop the play. But just because a player doesn't hit the ground and start crying doesn't mean it's not a penalty. He still obstructed Zaniolo from continuing to play illegally. He grabbed his shirt. You can't do that. So, yeah, to me, that's a yellow card and a penalty all day. No debate. The other two penalties that people are debating, saying, oh, in my opinion, they weren't penalties. I think Zaniolo and who was it? Colby? I don't know who it was. I can't remember now. But, yeah, those two, in my opinion, weren't penalties. I'm just honest the way I say it the way I see it. And, those two, in my opinion, were not penalties. The one with Demiral, to me, 100% is a penalty all day long. And Zaniolo got punished for not diving, I guess, staying down. Just like Mourinho said at the end of the game, maybe I got to change the way I'm coaching because I got to teach my players to swim, dive like in a swimming pool. So, yeah, it's frustrating. But in terms of Atalanta, they did not play good. But what I like from Atalanta this year and Gasperini is it shows that Gasperini learned that, you know, there's not one way to play. You can change the way you play. It's not all about, attack, 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 attack. I think Atalanta have only allowed 3 goals this year. I think they have the best defense in the Serie A. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident in saying that. And, people are saying, oh, Atalanta's leaky, they can't defend. Well, Gasperini is now a counterattacking manager, which he wasn't that in the past, as we all know. He said, okay, we don't have Ilicic, we don't have Papu Gomez, we don't have these guys that are so good with the ball at their feet, we can keep possession and dominate games. They can't do that anymore. They just don't have the players for that. So what's Gasperini do? Okay, we're going to sit back. We're going to give up possession. I think Atalanta have one of the worst possession percentages in the whole Serie A, but that doesn't matter because they're sitting back and then they're countering and they're countering beautifully. They get a goal, they get two, and they sit back. Is it the best football to watch, like the old Atalanta? No, but it gets the job done, and I think something that's more maintainable than the old football they played. Because before, if they didn't score 4 goals, they're not winning a game. They concede at least 2 or 3 every game. This way, they get 1 or 2 goals, they can still hold off for a 2-1 or 2-0. So, credit to Gasperini for changing the way he coaches. It's not easy to do, and it's good of him to realize, hey, this isn't working, we need to change. He changed, and now look at them. They're performing beautifully, and maybe not performing beautifully, but they're getting beautiful results. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. It doesn't really matter about the football. Roma may have played better football. We may have looked, really good. It may have created all these chances, but who won? Not us, Atalanta. So, credit to Gasperini. In terms of players, I'm trying to think. Demiral, he had a good game. He's been good this year. Scalvini, that finish, he looked like he was an attacking mid prospect, not a center back prospect. That's a great strike there. Doesn't get much more perfect than that. Great run from him to, see that opening in the defensive mid side of Roma's midfield, which, has been a problem for a while now. And, who else impressed me in Atalanta? I'm trying to think. No one else really had a standout game. It's just more of a team, scrappy wins. I'm sure Dan knows what I'm talking about. Those scrappy wins where it doesn't look too good. But everyone's, they're fighting, they're pitching in, and it was one of those kind of wins. So, yeah, credit to Atalanta. And that's all I got to say about that match. Anything on your half, Dan?
No. You covered it well. I wasn't able to watch it because I was actually at the Napoli Club of Toronto. We were just setting up for the watch party between Napoli and Milan. But yeah, like you covered it pretty well. And finishing is the most important part of the game. If you can't finish, you can't win. That's how I see it. And you're correct on the stat where Atalanta they gave up the least amount of goals in the Serie A this year. And it's good to see Atalanta finally defending, because in the past we would always question their center backs or the way they defend. But now they have a capable goalie who can make a save, who can keep Atalanta in any game. It seems like their defense is more organized between their partner, like whoever plays. And it helps that their midfield, too, I feel like has been playing a lot better.
Yeah.
Than they were in the past. Cooper Mayers has been doing well. Salvini was in the midfield yesterday. He's been doing okay. I've been impressed with the way Ederson's been playing. And I just feel like their team, it seems like they're more of a team now. And they're defending together, and their counterattack between Lokman, Sope, I think is his name. They got pace on them. I believe he's from Denmark, that striker they have. It seems like he could be a gem for them. Fulgen, I feel like he can be good for them. They got Moyer, Hatsubori. Still got some good players in that squad. And Atalanta, all of a sudden, now, if they're going to know how to defend against these top teams and counter them, they're going to be a scary team to look out for.
Yeah. And one more thing before we move on. I like the way Gasperini is using Scalvini. I really do. I feel like he invented his own position almost, because Toloi is another center back, right? He likes to get up. Scalvini also likes to, you know, push up, and he can play in his defensive mid. He can play as a center back. He can, you know, produce offensively. And since Toloi is someone who really likes to get forward, you know, when you have someone like Scalvini playing CDM, he can easily slot back into the defense while Toloi goes up. And Toloi is almost kind of like a box-to-box center back, which I've never heard of before. But it's the way he's playing. He really does get up a lot. And usually, you know, he wants center backs to always stay back at all times. But when you have someone like Scalvini, he can easily slot into center back for, you know, 1 or 2 minutes while Toloi's, you know, doing one of those runs. He goes up and, you know, carries the ball forward. And same with Scalvini. You know, if he's playing center back, you know, Toloi can stay back for him. So, yeah, I guess Gasperini, as always, he's an innovator. I feel like I've never heard of a box-to-box center back before. You know, claiming that an option in FIFA, so that's how you know it's not really a thing. But it feels like Gasperini invented his own role there. So I kind of like that Scalvini and Toloi kind of tandem that they have going on.
Yeah,
they really do. And that tells you how good Scalvini is. Too. Yeah, he's very young, and he's able to be that useful tactically for Gasperini, who always plays kind of like a weird system. And for him to already be comfortable in it at this age just shows you how talented and intelligent he is as a player. So yeah, credit to Scalvini. I think he's a true prospect. You know, there's a lot of Italian prospects, this guy, that guy, whatever. I think Scalvini is an actual prospect, but I think he will become a good player. I can already see the early signs of that. So yeah, I'm very high on Scalvini. And yesterday just made me more high on him. So yeah, credit to Atalanta once again. Good win for them, and they've been having a great year. And now Dan, Napoli, Milan, take it away.
Yeah, I don't know where to start, but yeah, no, it was a very important win for us, especially like the way we played the first half. I wasn't really happy with the way we played. I felt like we were too slow on the attack. There's a lot of times where we could have switched the play, open up the Milan defense, but we took our time, allowed Milan to get back and defend as a group. But once it seems like once the second half started, we just said, screw this, we're going to pick up the 3 points. Great work, again, by Kvaratskhelia, who seems to always impress me when he plays. There's times where he hangs on to the ball too much, but there's a lot of times where you get him into that open space and he's going to win fouls, he's going to create a lot of chances. And for me, the game changer for this was we knew Calabria was on the yellow card, so you won't want to take a risk, especially with Milan having big games. But bringing in Sergino Dest, who really hasn't settled into the league just quite yet, and he's not really the best defending right back out there. So going up against Kvaratskhelia, who's been creating a lot of problems for fullbacks in this league and fullbacks in even in Champions League. Winning the foul, giving up the penalty was good work by Kvaratskhelia just to blow by him and just win the penalty. It was a penalty all day. No one can debate otherwise. He didn't get the ball. And it was also Kvaratskhelia who knocked it out, and he ended up getting his, I believe it was his right foot he knocked, and the left foot knocked the ball out. But penalty all day, and from that moment on, I go, okay, Napoli seemed like they could pick up the pace, maybe get another one. And then Politano goes off with an injury. Hopefully it's not too serious, because we do need him for these big games coming up after the international break. Zerbin came in, and Teo Hernandez just took him to school, ran by him like he was nothing, and found Giroud, who was, don't know why he was unmarked. Giroud is such a very good player. He's such a class striker. Scores in these big games all the time, and he was there to tap it home, give Milan the equalize the game. And then my boy, as we know, I said we're going to talk about him. And I feel like today's the day we're going to talk about him a lot more. Chelito Simeone.
Big time.
Who I've always been high on for some odd reason. But he proved again. Gave Napoli fans life. Beautiful hold-up play. Simeone dribbled by a couple of the players. Found Rui. And then beautiful ball in by Rui. And a perfect, I would say a perfect header by Simeone, placed it well into the bottom corner. Maignan, there was no chance he was saving that. As good as he is, that was just a perfect header. And gave Napoli the 2-1 lead. I was really impressed with the way Kim played again. I thought, he's been very good for us this season. Made a crucial block in the end. Rui had a strong game. I was very happy with the way Romani played at times. Zielinski was good. Politano, it's good to see him back on the score sheet. He's been playing a lot better as of late. I've been really happy with the way he played. Raspadori wasn't himself, but for me, I feel like that center forward role, I don't really like him in that center forward role too much. I feel like he's more productive as a behind or on the left side. But for me, I'm going to give this guy a lot of credit. There's a lot of question marks heading into the season. Well, if who's going to be our number one and if he's capable of being a number one, I'm going to give Mareta a lot of credit and a lot of respect that he deserves. Since the Navas rumors died down, even the beginning, even before, he's been playing a lot better, and he's looking like the goalkeeper we want him to be, making some big saves. And he made some big saves in the Champions League game, made two big saves here. One, I believe, on Krunic, who headed the ball, and he made a nice save off the corner. And then it was, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Giroud who shot it, or Salamakers who shot it, and he made an unbelievable save. Yeah, we did get lucky on the crossbar, but the two saves Mallet did make were huge. Two big saves he made, and give him a lot of credit, because if he didn't make those saves, who knows what this game might have been. But he made two big saves for us to keep us in at 1 to keep it at 0-0. And I do believe the other one was, I think both at 0-0. And he made two great saves to keep this game scoreless heading into the half. And then we just took it from there. It was a tough game for both of us, especially Milan played well. They were high press. They pressed us really well. And it seemed like anytime we go up against a team that presses us, high presses us, we don't know how to play. But we found a way to win. It was a big win for us, and just happy that Simeone got into the score sheet. He's been playing well as of late. I've been really impressed. We're impressed with the way he's been playing, and it's kind of ironic, and how we were just talking about Simeone and the style, and we were mentioning, like, in the box, he's very good with the headers. He's got great movement. He's got great passing ability.
Yeah,
he suits our style of play perfect. Like, he suits our style of play, then he scores. And it's just kind of ironic how we just talk about that and it happened. Maybe he listened. Maybe he was listening. So, yeah, no, I'm just very happy with the way we played. And now I get to have 2 weeks of kind of relaxation. It's been tough these first 7 games. But now we just get to relax 2 weeks, and hopefully Napoli can continue playing well after the international break.
I mean, yeah, Dan, you said it best. We kind of called it a little bit. I think we had the podcast on a Friday, I believe. And, you know, 2 days later, just like we said, he's very good in the box. He has very good hold-up play. He's very good at headering. And he scored a header inside the box to win the game. So, big win for Napoli. They've looked very good so far. A lot of new signings have, you know, started to get more comfortable as the games go on. Milan didn't look bad. You can't win every game at the end of the day. I'm not sure, you know, I don't have too many Milan fans on Twitter, so I'm not sure how the reaction is from their fan base. But, they shouldn't overreact, you know. You're not going to win every game. You're gonna lose games, and Napoli's been good, so it's not a shame to lose to them. It happens. This year in the city, it's very interesting, you know, with, you know, these smaller teams, all these upsets. You know, it's already time to tie Juventus. Monza beating Juventus. Then you got Udinese destroying Roma and Inter. You got, you know, Napoli who... bringing a lot of new players and, you know, starting out very hot this year. It's a lot of fun stuff going on right now, and anything could happen. I think that's why, you know, it's another reason to tune in every week to see, you know, every game. Because, you know, usually in the past you see a big team playing a small team and you're like, meh, whatever, I'm not going to really watch that game. I'll just wait till, you know, the weekend to see Inter Milan. But, you know, Saturday maybe Torino-Juventus, you know, a derby where Juventus usually win. Now, the derbies are more 50-50. It's more of a real derby, but you don't know who's going to win. And Torino could win. So that's just an example. You know, every game is going to be fun. Every game is going to be interesting. Every game is going to be surprising at some points. And, Serie A is very fun at the moment. So, yeah, hopefully you guys have enjoyed the season so far. Is there anything else I'm missing, Dan, that we need to go over? Or is that pretty much everything? I'm not too sure.
Fiorentina picked up a massive
big win.
Nice win. Lazio
4-0.
You know what? I'm kind of surprised with that, to be completely honest. I know, because we were just talking about these smaller teams and these big teams, like when they play, it's like, Cremonese could, they're probably going to lose 4-0, but they ended up, who knows? They can tie, they can play well, but yeah, this was just a case of maybe a rare case of just these big teams destroying these small teams. But yeah, I've been impressed with. I know they're sitting, I believe, 19th, still with all the win. But I've been impressed with the way they've been playing Cremonese a little bit, and I feel like they could be like you said, and maybe a Salernitana next season. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Maybe find a way to stay up.
I think they do things the right way. It just hasn't worked out for them so far. They also had a very tough schedule. If you look, they played Roma, they played Fiorentina,
Inter,
Atalanta, Lazio, Sassuolo. They have not had many easy games. They've had maybe one or two. So the record is to be expected. I actually think 2 points out of all those games are actually pretty good. You know, there's other small teams still have to play. The Atalantas of the world, the Romas of the world, the Inters of the world, the Lazio. So it's going to even out. Yeah, I think Cremonese does things the right way, the way they play. I still do think they're going to stay up. I think, things will work itself out. They got Lecce up next. That's more of a test to see, you know, a direct rival for a team that's trying to stay up. So we'll see how that goes. And, we got the international break coming up. Italy, I don't think we're really going to come on here talk about Italy. There's no reason to, really, unless something dramatic happens. We still have the call-ups. I guess we'll talk about that a little bit. I do not like the call-ups at all. I feel like more young players should have been picked. Guys that, are unproven need to have an opportunity. Zaniolo has been on for such a long time. You know, call him up. Let him get back into the national team system. Let him, get comfortable again.
I'm not really I'm happy that not the players are there, but not at the same time, I'm not. Especially because of these games. If it was like a World Cup qualifier, I would understand it, but now,
of course,
it's you all need to see the Lorenzo, because he's probably going to be, especially because Calabria is not there, I don't believe.
No, he's not there.
So, you really don't need to see Di Lorenzo there. There's no point of playing. Maybe you could keep Raspadorians or being, because they're still young and they might
be. Yeah, definitely.
But that maybe, because, unless, I don't know. For me, I would probably call up Perlin over Donnarumma, just because these games don't matter. For me, these games don't matter. I know, like, some people want to say, oh, but it's a good way for the build. Just go build it with the kids. You should have called up Moretti. You should have called up Zaniolo.
Calabria,
Scalvini, Udogie. There's a lot of good players who are playing with the under-21s and the 20s and the 19s that we should be seeing on the international team. But at the end of the day, it's Mancini's call, and I'm not happy with some of the call-ups they made.
Yeah, no, me neither. It's not promising. I don't know what Mancini was thinking there. And, I mean, yeah, honestly, the national team is not in a good state right now. There's not a lot of excitement around it, you know, and it makes sense. No one on the World Cup. There's not a big tournament coming up. So we're kind of in a state of flux right now where we don't know what's going on. And we'll see, what players, you know, over the next couple of months get an opportunity with, you know, Mancini's Italy. But for now, yeah, I'm not happy with the call-ups. I think most people, you know, share the same sentiment on Twitter and social media in general. I don't think people are happy with the call-ups. And I know Frances not here, but I think he'd agree. I don't think many people are going to be happy with the call-ups. So we'll see what happens. You know, Nations League, I don't really care too much about. You know, it's still nice to win. I still want to win games. You know, winning's better than losing. And it's good to build momentum for the next, you know, up-and-coming tournament. But at the same time, I like to win games while also seeing, you know, the younger guys get a shot and opportunity. Because when are you going to chart them out? If you're not charting them out now, you're not going to chart them out in the Euros. You're not going to chart them out in the World Cup.
Immobile, Jorginho. I do believe, like Tolores guy. Like, these guys, we've seen what they've done. We didn't make a World Cup, but we won the Euros with them. The last draw should have been after Macedonia. A lot of these guys should just not be called up. Like,
yeah.
Now Insigne and Berdes can move to MLS and not get called up. Like, so there's no point calling up Immobile and Jorginho as well, especially if you're trying to move on from those guys.
Yeah, no, honestly, there's no point. So we'll see. You know, I disagree. I think now is the time for the younger guys to play and, you know, get a shot. But I guess Mancini doesn't agree with us. I think he's going for a win, which it's good to win games, and you can still win games while also giving other guys a shot, you know. Just put in a bit of both. I don't think many countries and, you know, national teams are taking it too seriously. So I don't think you're going to get a case where we see Italy with all young guys and you're playing, you know, the Germany main team. I don't think that's really going to happen. I think every country, more or less, you know, they don't want to get hurt for the World Cup. So they're all going to be playing their, not B team, but, you know, a mix of both. So I don't know. I don't want to get too much into that. I know there's not really much to talk about in terms of the Azzurri right now, unfortunately. But, yeah, we'll probably be keeping a closer eye on Canada, if anything. Some big games coming up for them to see, you know, what level they're at. Some good competition. I'm looking forward to the Uruguay match. I think that'll be a good a good test for Canada to see, you know, what to expect in a World Cup. I think Uruguay is a team where if Italy played Uruguay, I'd be, ooh, that's a tough game. So for Canada, that should be a really good test for them to see what happens with that. And, yeah, it's probably going to wrap up the pod there. If you want to, you know, check us out on social media, it's at SixOddCulture on both Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back, like I said, right before the Serie A's back, or if not, the week after it's back. It all really depends on, you know, what topics, what news comes out, is anything worth coming on here for. And yeah, we're looking forward to being back. Enjoy the break, you know, everyone needs it. It's been a lot of games, it's been stressful, so, enjoy the time off. I think it's healthy for everyone, and, we'll catch you next time. Ciao.
Ciao, guys.